ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। We have a Hindi Bhagavatam we have. Is this English class or Hindi class? English class? I can speak in English. Somebody will translate for that. Okay. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Text Number 54.
Daiteya yaksha rakshamsi
Striya shudra vrajau kasah
Khaga
mriga papa jivah Santihya chutatam gatah दैतेया यक्ष रक्षांसि स्त्रियः शूद्रा व्रजौकसः खगा मृगाः पापजीवाः सन्ति ह्यच्युततां गतः। दैतेया यक्ष रक्षांसि स्त्रियः शूद्रा व्रजौकसः खगा मृगाः पापजीवाः सन्ति ह्यच्युततां गताः। दैतेया यक्ष रक्षांसि स्त्रियः शूद्रा व्रजौकसः खगा मृगाः पापजीवाः सन्ति ह्यच्युततां गताः। दैतेया यक्ष रक्षांसि स्त्रियः शूद्रा व्रजौकसः खगा मृगाः पापजीवाः सन्ति ह्यच्युततां गताः। दैतेया यक्ष रक्षांसि शूद्रा व्रजौकसः खगा मृगाः पापजीवाः सन्ति ह्यच्युततां।
वैष्णवी
दैतेयाः ओ डीमन्स् यक्ष रक्षांसि The living entities known as the Yakshas and Rakshasas. Striyaha, women. Shudraha, the labor class. Vraja Okasaha, village covered men. Kagaha, birds. Mrigaha, animals. Papa Jivaha, sinful living entities. Santi, can become. He certainly, Achyutatam, the qualities of Achyuta, the Supreme Lord. Gataha, obtained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the Yakshas and Rakshasas, the unintelligent women, Shudras, and covered men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities can revive his original, eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Purport. The devotees are referred here as the Achyuta Gotra, or the dynasty of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Senyorbiyor Madhye Ratham Sthapayame Achyuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world because He is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the Jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was in the conditioned state and was the wife of a demon, even Yakshas, Rakshasas, Brahman, Shudras, and even birds and other lower living entities can be elevated to the Achyuta Gotra, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. As Krishna never falls, when we revive our spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achyuta Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam yevam yo vetti tatvataka tyaktva deham punarjanma nayiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. One should understand Achyuta, the Supreme Infallible, and how we are related with Him, and one should take to the service of the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srila Madhvacharya says, Achyutatam Chutivarjanam. The word Achyutatam refers to one who never falls to this material world, but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Saavadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namavo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangirade Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Daiteya Yaksha Raksham Stisriya Shudra Vrajau Kasaha Kaga Mruga Papa Jivaha Santihya Chitatam Gataha. You're sure? Most devotees understand. Srimad Bhagavatam is a transcendental literature and cannot be spoken about or commented upon without the empowerment of Gladini Shakti, potency of the Supreme Lord. And such empowerment actually comes to only a speaker who is firmly sheltered at the feet of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. So, at the outset, I would like to beg the devotees to bless me to speak something meaningful and to purify my heart and glorify the Lord and benefit the audience here today. We are reading from the chapter, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. And the current verse in hand is a verse where Prahlad tells his friends that actually Bhakti Yoga is easily attainable even by demons, including yakshas and rakshasas, unintelligent women, shudras and coward men and birds and lower animals. Like that, he is giving a long list of candidates who are actually not so much connected to religion or spirituality, and people who might be otherwise considered as those who are utterly unqualified to practice spiritual life, like doing swadhyay, study of the shastra, doing tapasya, performing severe austerities, performing charity, giving dan, performing sacrifices like yajna, following the vows of brahmacharya, and renunciation, atyaga. So such kind of things one who cannot do, generally many of the religious processes like the path of karma, jnana, yoga, they all demand many qualifications like that. In case somebody like the one given in the list here is utterly degraded from that point of view, they are not qualified to approach the Lord. There is one path where they will all be given entry, he is saying, and that is this path of Bhakti Yoga, which actually is the language of the soul. Very easily one can approach the Lord. For example, a bird like Jatayu, or even a small creature like a squirrel helping in Lord Rama, performing the, making the Setu Bandha, or animals like Hanuman, or even low, a person who is outcast like Nishada Guha, born in a Nishada family, or even demons born in demoniac family like Vibhishan, or even Prahlad, born in a demoniac family. And somebody may ask why women are included in this list. The reason is women, generally, Prabhupada explains, women have one positive qualification and they have one negative qualification. Both are mentioned in the Bhagavatam purports of Srila Prabhupada. The plus point for women is they are innocent, they have faith in the Supreme Lord, and they are fond of religious festivals and activities like that. So when they come to the temple, at once they bow down to the Supreme Lord without hesitation. And they give offerings like fruits and flowers and everything, take darshan, attend arati. So this is very natural for women. Once an educated man had come to Pune, brought by his devotee friends. So he was a doctorate student. So all the devotee boys were offering obeisances to the deities. So they told this boy also, you also bow down. He had difficulty bowing down. He said, I am a doctorate, I am an intelligent boy, how can I bow down before the deities? So he thought he is so intelligent that he cannot bow down. So people who have a head weight, as we call it, head weight means those who are falsely proud of their wealth or of their scholarship or of their social position, and they may have difficulty bowing down before the Lord. Most people pass through the temple and they do like this and they go away. Like that they do and they go away. They don't enter the temple also. you want to enter one record qualification. So in that point of view, women are very, for women it's very easy to bow down before the Lord. So women deserve to be congratulated for their qualification. At the same time, women are said to have one weakness, that they may put blind faith in anybody. If a boy comes with a very costly car, you know, to a college, a woman may fall for it, thinking that maybe he's a very rich boy. He will take care of me nicely. After marriage, she comes to know it's a borrowed car. Isn't it? He has borrowed from his friend for a short time. So women are gullible by the men. And because of their being gullible, sometimes swindlers in the name of saints can cheat them also. And also, women, Prabhupada says, are fond of five things, Prabhupada says. They are fond of a beautiful house, a gentle husband, costly garments, and fine food, and attachment to children and raising children. So wearing nice dress and eating nice food and raising children. So their absorption is in these things. And from one point of view, this absorption cannot be condemned, because this absorption keeps the home together properly. And if man is spiritual minded and religious, he can bring the whole home back to Godhead. On the other hand, if a man becomes a follower of a wife who is very absorbed in materialism, then both of them headlong go into materialism. That is why it's mentioned like this here. So a woman who may not be attracted to sitting down and hearing philosophy and analytically understand, if she connects herself with bhakti yoga, very easily she can return back to Godhead. Kunti Maharani in her prayer is telling, my dear Lord, you know, who can see you? You are not easily accessible, because you are standing behind the curtain of Maya, and you are not easily accessible to the common people. And then she is telling, as far as I am concerned, I have no worry. Even if you cannot give me darshan, I am satisfied simply that you are watching me, although I may not be able to see you. Because I have no qualification to see you, but you are only seeable by those who are jnaninam, amalatmanam, those whose hearts are completely uncontaminated, and those who are pure devotees. You can be seen only by them. Katam pashyema histriyaha, how can a woman like me can see you? So this humility that Kunti is expressing itself is a big qualification for her to see Krishna. So in this way, he is giving this list of items and then saying that if they all take shelter of Krishna, they will become highly qualified. You see, in South India, in that Varadaraja Perumal, there is a temple in Kanchipuram. There was a very great devotee whose name was Tirukkachi Nambi, we call in Tamil. His English name, they call him as Kanchipurna, they call him. So, he was such a pure devotee, though born in a Shudra family, still he approached Lord Varadaraja with great devotion. And he was very popular for fanning the Lord. Although he was born in a Shudra family, when he would walk on the road, even great learned Brahmanas would bow down to him, seeing his devotion to Lord. Because they knew that Kanchipurna could talk to Lord one-to-one directly. If anybody had a question to ask the Lord, you can go and tell him, and he will ask the Lord, and Lord will give him the answer. And then he can come back and tell you the answer. Sometimes many great Brahmanas would ask him questions on Sanskrit literature, and he will just go and ask the Lord, and the Lord will tell him answer, and when he would come and give the answer, the people would be amazed. He was just acting like a postman between them and the Lord. So, that Kanchipurna used to experience reciprocation from the Lord. One day, Lord became so pleased with Kanchipurna that when Kanchipurna ate in a plate, his prasad, half the prasad was finished, and he had to attend to somebody. So the Lord took some portion of his food and ate. So he became angry with the Lord. He said, how can you take from my eaten plate? It's a contaminated food. How can Lord take from my plate? So he told Varadaraja, now I'm not going to be with you. So he left and he went to Srirangam. So Srirangam, he went and he massaged the feet of Lord Ranganatha. Ranganatha said, "Hey Kanchipurna, my consort Lakshmi is constantly massaging my feet. If you also massage, my leg will pain now." Okay, he said, "No, I will not give extra massage." So he left and then he went to Tirupati Balaji. So there he took the peacock feather and started fanning Lord Balaji. "Balaji, I am already on a hilltop. I am feeling so much cool climate here. And you are increasing my cold." Then he asked Balaji, "Then where can I serve?" "Lord," said, "I am already standing as Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. You go and serve me there." Then he returned back to Varadaraj. Then he served. So in this way, the Lord used to reciprocate with him one-to-one personally. Although apparently was born in a outcast family or whatever. In the Bhagavatam, this theme is explained elsewhere also, many places. Tevai vidan tatitaran ticha deva mayam stri shudra huna shabara apipapa jivaha yadyadbhuta krama parayana shila shikshaha tiryang jana kimu api shruta dharanaye. This verse says that shruta dharanaye, if they chant the holy name and hold it in their ears, they hear it. All these people, it says, Tevai Vidanti, Atitaranti, means they can cross over this material existence. Who all? He's saying, Stri, Shudra, Huna, Shabara, Papa Jivaha. Similar list is given there. They all can. And then it says, especially, Yadyad Bhuta Krama Parayana Shila Shiksha. They should take shelter of a pure devotee and take the Harinam Diksha from him. And also hear his instructions on devotional service and follow them. By doing that, Atitaranti cha deva mayam, they can cross over this existence. Like that it is said. Similarly, that was Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulakasha. That was also similar verse. So, what is the meaning of taking shelter of the Lord through Bhakti Yoga? This is beautifully explained by Uddhava in his prayer to Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. There, Uddhava says, one should in this world search for a friend, a master, a supreme shelter by thoroughly analyzing the people of this world. And then one will come to the right conclusion that Krishna is the ideal master, he is the ideal friend, an ideal shelter. Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ki. So he says in one verse like a capsule, he tells the special qualifications of Krishna, due to which we should take his shelter. He says, Tasmat bhavantam anavadyam ananta param sarvajnam ishwaram akunta vikunta dishnyam nirvinna dhirahamuhe brijanabhitapto narayanam narasakam sharanam prapadye. See, he says in this verse, my dear Krishna, why have I become your devotee? He is giving reasons here. You are tasmat bhavantam anavadyam, is telling. In this world, some master whom you found as a great master, you take shelter, hoping that, you know, his shelter is a very wonderful shelter. Suddenly you find some fault in him. Like you might have heard in the paper sometimes, somebody is a great star, somebody is a great hero. Suddenly some blemish that manifested in his life is brought out. Similarly, in this world, even very popular masters, people who have thousands and millions of followers, suddenly they are found to have some character problem. Or there is a problem in their behavior or conduct. Somebody speaks something due to which he is out of the scene. Or somebody has a problem with women or money. So in this world is such a world that even good people, sometimes people of good character. Ajamila was a good boy, coming from a good Brahmana family. You know, he was a Sruta Sampanna, he was Sadachari, he was a Dhridavrata. So many qualifications are given. Suddenly he fell prey to, illicit connections. So he says that in this world, one may go on for some time, but suddenly one shows some flaws, defects. Just like this marble, when you make the marble flooring or sometimes marble deity, when you are making it, suddenly there is a hole somewhere, due to which the whole piece becomes rejected after that. So the word sincere, it comes from another word, sincere. It's called sincere, means the marble which doesn't have any hole. When you are making it, that is called sincere, they call it, which means such sincerity which has no spot, black spot, is very rare in this world. Like we say, sannyasir alpachidra sarvaloka gai, it is said. So it's very rare to find such people, but Krishna is one such master in whose character nobody can find any flaw, he is telling. Like some a year ago, our Maharashtra chief minister's wife had come to Pune for a darshan. She had come, seen the temple and everything. She was a very educated lady. She must be probably in 60s. So she said she was a school teacher for almost 27 years or so. She said, your temple is very beautiful, but you people worship Krishna? She said, I have a great apprehension in worshipping Krishna. I asked her, why? What's the problem? And Krishna says he is Bhagavan in the Bhagavad Gita. She said, if Krishna is Bhagavan, why he did not stop the Kurukshetra battlefield? Because crores of soldiers died in the battle. Why is he so cruel? Then I told her, madam, are you aware? Krishna went as a Shanti Dut on behalf of Pandavas. And Duryodhana was not even ready to give the land on the tip of a needle. She said, oh, I know it very well, she said. Then, was he not unreasonable? I asked her. She said, okay, Duryodhana was unreasonable. That doesn't mean the Pandavas have to wage a war. Then I asked, then what is the solution? She said, the Pandavas should go back to jungle. Because she said, already 12 years they had experience in jungle. They had met rishis, munis and everybody. Then I asked her, but they are all like lions, lion-like rulers. Why can't they rule? She said, no, for the sake of keeping non-violence, they should all go to the jungle. Because out of the two, Kauravas and Pandavas, Kauravas are incorrigible fellows. But the Pandavas are sane fellows, so they should go to the jungle, the intelligent one. And Krishna should have guided them to go to jungle, which he didn't do. And that is why I hate Krishna, she said. Then I told her, madam, are you aware of this verse? How much the Pandavas were willing to bend? That is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which Arjuna says. Yadi mama pratikaram ashastram shastrapanayah dharta rashtran rane hanyuhu tanme kshemataram bhavet. Arjuna is telling, my dear Krishna, I will go in front of the Kauravas unarmed and let them kill me. And I don't mind being killed in the hands rather than me killing my relatives. This was the nobility and principle-centered life of Arjuna. So they were so malleable and pliable and willing to bend Pandavas. But Kauravas were very unreasonable. I tried telling her and it was not of much use, my convincing. In fact, I told her that Arjuna was ready to become a beggar and go to the jungle. And Arjuna even gave another reason of Varna Sankara. But Krishna told him, if you don't fight this battle, then there will be Varna Sankara, he said. Because right now you are saying that the men will die in the battle and their wives will become widows and they will be adulterated by other men and Varna Sankara will come. But Krishna said, if you don't fight this battle, already Duryodhana is stripping the clothes of Draupadi, Tata Raja, Tata Praja. Then all Praja in their own homes will be stripping clothes of different women, imitating Duryodhana. So he said, already there is Varna Sankara, right now only. He said, but if you kill all these men in the battle, their wives will be protected by Yudhishthira Maharaj exactly like a son takes care of the mother. So there is nothing to worry. So in this way Krishna convinced them. I told. She said, all this is all right, but still, Krishna should not have convinced the Pandavas to fight. Just see, so much violence, so much bloodshed. Then I thought I had another alternative to tell her. Then I showed from the Srimad Bhagavatam two verses. One is the verse which says, Tateva chanye naraloka veera ya ahave krishna mukara vindam नेत्रे पिबन्तो नयनाभिरामं पार्थास्त्रपूताः पदमापुरस्य. दिस वर्स सेज इन द बैटल ऑफ कुरुक्षेत्र ऑल द वॉरियर्स हु आर लुकिंग एट कृष्णा ग्लांसिंग ऑन कृष्णास ब्यूटी व्हेन द एरोस ऑफ अर्जुन पियर्स देयर चेस्ट द नेक्स्ट मोमेंट दे असेंडेड टू द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड. इट सेज पदम आपुरस्य, इट सेज पदम आपुरस्य मीन्स दे ऑल अटेन द परमं पदम, द परव्योम, spiritual world they attain. How? It says Partha Astra Putaha, it says. The Partha Astra is the arrow. When the arrow would pierce their body, Puta, they would become purified. Puta means pure. Na means na. So Puta na means not pure. One who came with bad intentions. Whereas here the Putaha means they became purified. So, why Parthastra Putaha? What is so special about Parthastra? Because the Parthastra is conducted by Krishna. Because Krishna has ordered Partha to send the arrow, that is why Krishnastra and Parthastra, there is no difference. It is the same. So Krishna is ordering Arjuna to kill them and purify them and dispatch them back to Godhead. So I was showing this verse, which also says, with their eyes they were seeing Krishna and remembering him, and when their life was taken out of the body, they attained the spiritual sky. Similarly, there is one more verse, Gataha Swarupam, it says. Hataha Gataha Swarupam, like that Bhagavatam says. When they were killed, they all attained spiritual world. So one of the names Rupa Goswami says about Krishna, his name is Hata Ari Gati Dayaka. Hata means kill, Ari means enemy. By killing the enemy, Gati Dayaka, he gives them Gati, Paramam Gati, he gives them. So, everybody ascended to spiritual sky by seeing Krishna. So, because Krishna has that ability, he is like a sun which can purify the urine and yet not get contaminated. That is Krishna's potency. He is Shuddham, Apapa Viddham, as Ishopanishad explains. So, I was telling her how pure Krishna is, that he can purify anyone and anything who comes in contact. Then I told her, just see, if Krishna's killing can send one to spiritual world, what to speak of if Krishna garlands somebody or embraces somebody like he did with Sudama. So there can be no blemish in Krishna. Krishna is apapa viddham. He is spotlessly pure. So in this way, just like sometimes in a tava, in a frying pan, which is very hot, you sprinkle some water. When you sprinkle it, immediately, like that, it just absorbs it. Like that, when the arrows went and pierced the bodies of the enemies, like that it absorbed the sins immediately and rendered them free. They became liberated souls. And then they were dispatched to spiritual sky. So hearing that, she was thrilled. And it was like a turning point for her. She said, this nobody told me. And then she asked, what is this Bhagavatam? Then I told her, Bhagavad Gita is by Krishna and Bhagavatam is about Krishna. So she became very inspired. She said, now I would like to come and learn more. Now I want to take a Bhagavatam set, she was telling. So, in this way, many people in India have many wrong notions about Krishna, due to which they don't know. So here, Tasmad Bhavantam Anavadyam is saying, Anavadyam means spotlessly pure. Krishna is spotless. She is also saying, Rukmini, Anavadyatma, she is telling. Krishna is Anavadyatma. He has no blemish in him at all. In fact, people who came with mal intentions to Krishna, they became purified, like Kubja. Prabhupada says Kubja was not like gopis. Gopis have pure love for Krishna. Kubja was lusty for Krishna. But that lusty Kubja became purified by Krishna's touch. She became subsequently purified. That means impure things become pure by coming in contact with Krishna. You see? So anavadyatma, anavadya is saying. Tasmad bhavantam anavadyam anantaparam is telling. So Krishna, you are the perfect master to be followed. Not only that, in this world if you serve some master and you are hoping that the master is going to give me some reward and the fellow dies. Because in this world everybody is separated by the sword of time. So that's why it's called anta. But Krishna is ananta is telling. His term is unending term. Even if somebody becomes a politician, he stays only for 5 years or so. After that he is knocked out and somebody else comes in this world. Similarly, in this world, those who are shelter providers like father or or the leader of a nation, or even the demigods. They all have a term after which they are gone. So they are all separated by time. But Krishna is never separated by time. He is unending master, master forever. So he is worthy of taking shelter. Then Param means his jurisdiction. Like Yamaraj and Yamakankaras have only jurisdiction of the sinful living beings. Is it not true? But Krishna's jurisdiction extends everywhere. Like we all have our departments in the temple. You have control in one department, but you can't control another department. Isn't it? So we have our jurisdiction. So Yamaraj has jurisdiction over only some living entities. Isn't it? But you will read in Krishna's pastimes that Krishna can go anywhere and get anything done. Like when Sandipani Muni saw Krishna and Balaram have finished their term in the Gurukul, when they were about to leave and offering obeisances, and they were asking him, you know, for any dakshina. So he was surprised, what dakshina can we ask the Supreme Lord? So he said, I'll consult my wife and tell you. So Guru Mata was consulted, and she said, don't ask anything ordinary. You should ask something special. So she suggested the idea, and then he asked, can you bring my dead son back from Yama's abode? And immediately Krishna and Balaram set out. They went to Samyamani, that is the place, Samyamani, where Yamaraj is the king there. So Krishna went there, right to the door, and Yamaraj came and bowed down to Krishna, saluted him and asked, sir, what can I do for you? So Krishna is straight away serving an order to him. Guru Putramiha Anitam Nijakarma Nibandhanam. My dear Yama, my guru son, due to some past bad karma, he has ended up in Yamaloka here. And then he is telling, Anayaswa Maharaja, bring him here immediately to me. And Yamaraj may ask, but what about his punishment that is to be given? He might ask, no? Or how can I leave him on bail? To leave on bail, somebody has to sign, no? How I can leave him from the Yamaloka? Anayaswa Maharaja, he says, Machasana Puraskritaha, on my order you bring him here, he's telling. So, sometimes you will see, somebody is a very big man. He may come on the counter and say that, hey, you give him, don't expect any salana or anything, I am telling you. Somebody can say that, because he is a supreme controller or somebody, and at least in that situation. Similarly, Krishna is telling all his negative, sinful account, you cancel it and you send the boy back. I want to give him back to my guru. Which means, Krishna's jurisdiction extends to Yamaloka also, Varuna's loka also, Brahma Jyoti also, beyond that Mahavishnu's loka also. Everywhere it extends. So that is why Ananta Param is telling. Tasmat Bhavantam Anavadyam Ananta Param is telling. You are not limited by time, you are not limited by space. You have full jurisdiction over everything for all time, Krishna. So you are the real master, he's telling, fit to be taken shelter. Because in this world, whenever you take shelter of any master, one of the questions we all ask is, what is his capacity? What can he give me? How much shelter can he provide me? How safe it is? Many banks say, no, invest money in us, we will do this for you, do that for you. So many promises they make. Is it not true? Many companies are inviting intelligent students to join them. They make so many promises of pay and perks and everything. So when you see Krishna, you will see he is such a all-perfect master. And then he is telling, Sarvajnam Ishwaram Akunta Vikunta Dishnyam. In this world, when you serve a master, sometimes the master forgets the good work you have done. And becomes upset with you and may fire you also. That's the nature of this world. And sometimes a master may become greedy because he got something better than you and you have loyally served for many years, and he may fire you and have someone else who can provide his greedy pursuits, provide for his greedy pursuits like that. You will find that if a cow stops giving milk, a farmer may send the cow to a slaughterhouse. Is it not? Similarly, a man who has served the family all his life, sometimes he becomes very old. Then he becomes like a old ox which cannot plow the field. So he's put in a cart outside the house and kept like an unwanted entity. And people are praying that he's a pretty old man, let him die soon. In this way, in this world, people reject somebody when they consider him useless or when they consider someone else better like that. So, and also sometimes people are unaware of the good work you have done. Sometimes X did the good work and Y takes the credit and goes away. Can happen. Like one time in my college, I used to make this assignment work very nicely, 10-12 pages, colorful pens and everything, make very nice file. And so my friends sometimes would come to copy, you know. So 2-3 friends copied and one of them submitted before me. Then when I went and submitted to teacher asked me, have you copied from that fellow? It took me some time to convince her that actually mine is original and that fellow's was copy. You know, because she was unaware. Whereas Krishna is never unaware. He is sarvajnam. Sarvajnam means he is all knowing. Who is doing what golmal and meddling, who is doing everything he knows, Krishna. And who is true and who is not, he is in the heart of every living entity. He is sarvajnam. And not only that, he is such a kind Lord that animesha nimeshena, it is said, when you do some good work, his eyes become wide open. Even little good you do, like Hanuman and squirrel example often we give. The squirrel did little good, but Lord Ram took notice of that in the midst of such a huge project of bridge making going on. He took notice of that little service done by squirrel. On the other hand, when a devotee commits some mistakes, Lord overlooks it. He just closes his eyes. Lord overlooks it, considering that, you know, this devotee is a wonderful devotee, has done so much for me. Like that the Lord feels. So sarvajnam. And also, Lord is always grateful for whatever service the devotee has done. So he is sarvajnam. And he is saying, not only he is sarvajnam, he is Ishwaram, he says. Like once there was a demigods meeting in which Lord Shiva was also present. So, in that meeting the discussion was how Ravana can be killed very soon. That was the plan in the meeting. And Parvati was telling Shiva, why don't you raise your arms, raise your hand and speak up, because Ravana is your devotee. And Shiva said, shh, don't say anything. This fellow has rebelled against the Supreme Lord. Now I cannot save him anymore. So there are many demigods like this who cannot save their servants, especially in hour of crisis. Whereas Krishna will even break moral laws to protect his servants. When Kunti Maharani was about to begin offering her prayer, Krishna was sitting on the chariot. She was watching him. Suddenly a brahmastra came flying. One was aimed at the Pancha Pandavas and another one was aimed at the posthumous child Parikshit, who was in the womb of his mother Uttara. So these two brahmastras came. And it was like very, extremely fast. Even the Pandavas lifted their weapons, but they could not protect themselves. At that time, Krishna took his Sudarshan Chakra and, you know, cancelled the Brahmastra outside. And he entered into the womb of Uttara and destroyed the second Brahmastra also. That is why she said, Namasye Purusham Tu Adyam Yishwaram Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. Inside the womb also you destroyed Brahmastra. Outside the womb also you destroyed Brahmastra both ways. And still you are sitting in chariot. Not that Krishna is missing in the chariot. You see? While you are sitting, everything is happening so wonderfully. So, in this way, Krishna is extremely swift to protect his devotee. That Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna thought that Kurukshetra battle is not yet over. If I lift a weapon, all the non-devotees will criticize me. But Krishna said, let it be. So be it. I would be more happy to be called as a Bhakta Vatsala than to be called as a moralist. Krishna thought like that. Which goes to show, Lord is such a Ishwar, for protecting his devotee, he will go to any extent. He will not mind spoiling his good reputation in this world if it is necessary for protecting the devotee. So, he is a great Ishwar. Ishwar means Ishwara Paramakrishna. He has control over all places, all people. He is an ultimate controller. Sarvajnam, Ishwaram. Akunta Vikunta Dishnya means his Vaikunta is unaffected by any external agencies. Like you see, India was struggling for freedom at one time. At one time India was under British rule. Before that it was under Mughal rule. And then later on in 1947, India got freedom. But you will see that there is always some kind of cold war going on between one country and another country. And the neighborhood countries especially may have cold war with the country. So you will find that in this world there is always a threat that any time a war can break out, any time there can be terrorists. So there is a kind of fear that people have even while celebrating festivals. You will see that the material world is so made that even in the time of enjoyment, one is suddenly threatened to death or threatened with some fear in this world. Whereas the spiritual world is a place which is unaffected by any kind of danger. Like Bhagavatam says, the material world is like padam padam, yat vipadam natesham. At every step there can be danger. You see, the panchamahabhut of which this material world is constituted, every one of them can pose danger. We are sitting on earth, earth can break open and we can go inside, possible. Or sometimes, like one time when there was an earthquake, when I was in Bombay temple, early morning, almost 3:30 or so, when Brahmacharis got up, the whole ashram, you know, the whole floor was like, that is the first time I have seen a tremor on earth. So everybody loudly chanted Hare Krishna mantra. Almost it went on for about 2-3 minutes or so. Nothing happened. Earth didn't break open or something. So when my spiritual master was giving class that day, he was telling that I wish that this earthquake go on and on forever, he said. Because he said, that's the time you fellows never dozed in your chanting, he said. You were chanting with such a vigor, he was telling. So, in this way, in the material world, there is danger on earth. In water, there can be floods or tsunamis. In the fire, there can be fire accidents. In the air, there can be typhoons, cyclones. And the ether, you may ask, how can there be a problem in ether? Sometimes in a lift, you are stuck in between. It is neither in second floor nor in third floor. It is in between sometimes. And people die inside the lift only sometimes. Due to too much of crowd also. So, we can see that in this world, the world is such that any time any danger can happen. Somebody is going in a bike, some truck comes and pat, he hits him. He is in coma for 6 months and he dies. You can see that this body is so fragile. Kamala dalla jala jivana talamala. This body is made up of panchamahabhut. Any time it can be taken away, stripped off. Or sometimes it is not taken away. Some damage is caused to body and one has to live with damage for 10-20 years, which is even more pathetic also. Whereas the spiritual world, everyone has spiritual body and the Supreme Master Krishna is in control there. And that is a suffering-free zone. In India, people sometimes think, if somebody is going to America, means they think he's going to a suffering-free zone. People think like that. As if in the American borders, people are standing with guns, you know, making sure no suffering comes. People think like that in India. But material world is a place of suffering. Whereas he says that akunta vikunta dishnyam, he's telling, in your spiritual world, it's a beautiful place. There is a unlimited supply of milk by the cows and unlimited supply of anything you desire by the desire trees. Like there is a chapter in the third canto, 15th chapter. One amazing thing I read, it was mentioned there. Yat sankulam haripada nadimatra drishtair vaidūryamānakata hemama yairvimānaihi yesham brihat katitatas vitasovi mukhyaha krishnātmanā narajah rurutsmayādyaihi. That verse says that in the Vaikuntha, if you want a plane to fly, you have to just bow down and say, Lord Vishnu, I need a plane. You get up, there will be a plane standing next to you. It will take you. So whatever you need in Vaikuntha, you have to just offer an obeisances, you will get it. Actually, this you can see even in this world. Like Srila Prabhupada, you have seen the video of Srila Prabhupada offering obeisances to Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, even in his old age. Prabhupada just offered obeisances, chanted and danced and wrote spiritual literature and everything got aligned around him. All the temples and thousands of devotees and all over the world. So in this way, in the pure state, a pure devotee has no desires, and if he desires, that immediately is fulfilled. Like that. So, in this way he is saying, Sarvajnam Ishwaram Akunta Vikunta Dishnyam Nirvinnadi Rahamuhe Vrijanabhi Tapto Narayanam Narasakam Sharanam Papadye. So there Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that Lord Krishna is so attractive that even attracts Lord Narayana. Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna, so he steals the four sons of Brahmana. Narayana is called as Atma Rama Gana Akarshayati, it is said. He attracts Atma Ramas. Who? Lord Narayana. Correct? No, Narayana and Vaikuntha, Swada Chatushkumaras, you know, the fragrance from the tulasi in his lotus feet entered their nostrils and attracted them. Whereas Krishna is attracted of Narayana also. Narayana attracts jnanis and Krishna is attracted of Narayana also, like that. And so he says, Sharanam Prapadye, I take shelter of that Krishna, he says. So, in this way, very logically, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is deducted, why one should take shelter of Krishna? Rupa Goswami, while discussing in the Nectar of Devotion about the different qualities of Krishna, in the later, after 56, you will see, 56 to 64, those qualities are all very, very extraordinary. He is saying that these qualities are not to be found even in Narayana also. So, one of the qualities which I told you just now, he is the attractor of Narayana also. You know, Lord Narayana is the shelter for the material world, whereas Krishna is the shelter of the Vishnus also. So, Kaviraj Goswami gives an example. The mud pots are made with clay from the earth, and after drying up, they are again kept on the earth only. Similarly, the three Vishnus come from Krishna, and they also rest in Krishna only. The three Vishnus are called shelters of the material world, and Krishna is called shelter of all shelters. That is why the Shruti Mantras also say, Tam Yeshwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram, Tam Daivatanam Paramam Chadaivatam, Patim Patinam Paramam Parastat, Vidama Devam Bhuvaneshwamidyam. So in this way, he is Patim Patinam, Ishwaran, is the Ishwar of all Ishwars. So, in this verse, it is said that if we are convinced that Lord Achyuta is the person who is worthy of taking shelter, then we don't need any other qualification. Iti matva bhajante ma buddha bhava samandita. No other qualification is asked. I used to have a question, why in some places it is mentioned that we have to offer very opulent foods to Krishna? Even Kaviraj Goswami says, in the Bhagavatam also in Uddhava Gita, Krishna says that my devotee should offer sweet rice and, you know, rasamalai and all very, very opulent foods in big plate. Why Krishna demands like this, although sometimes he says that, you know, I can even accept a patram pushpam phalam. So recently I got the answer to this question that he says, if a pure devotee is offering me, he can offer me even a cup of water. It's enough for me. But if a neophyte devotee is offering, he has to offer me very opulent. Why? Because the neophyte devotee generally thinks I am the enjoyer. But by offering opulent foods to Krishna, slowly realizes he is the first enjoyer. And whether I will get Mahaprasad or not, I am not very sure. Then it comes out also, because it may go for someone else. So I am not the enjoyer. Slowly he will realize it by doing it. Whereas a pure devotee never thinks I am the enjoyer. Rather he thinks Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. Why only everything? Even I belong to him also, he thinks like that. So, that is why here, as it is said, this kind of different classes of people, although they may be apparently very degraded from a material point of view, from a spiritual point of view, if they have that type of Shraddha and Bhakti in the Lord or His pure devotees, then that one qualification is enough to take them back home, back to Godhead. So, Prahlad Maharaj, in the series of the verses that he offered to Lord Narasimha, so he enlists 12 qualifications which are there in many great personalities. But he says that those 12 qualifications cannot attract Lord Narasimha, he says. So I will conclude with that verse because this is something which Prabhupada emphasizes in his several purports. Manye dhanapi janarupa tapashrutau jas teja prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga. Narādhanā yahi bhava parasya pumso bhaktim tu tosha bhagavān gajayūthapāya. He says, my dear Lord Narasimha, if somebody is aristocratic, dhana, manye, dhana, abhijana, somebody surrounded by aristocratic relatives and friends, And tapa, somebody is very great in austerity like Vishwamitra or Durvasa Muni. Tapa, Shruta, somebody is very learned like Ramaharshana Sruta. Ojas means the power of the senses. Somebody has a tremendous sensory prowess. Teja means charisma. And Prabhava means ability to influence others, have influence over money and people and land and all that. Paurusha, actually, heroism. And Bala means a strength. Buddhi means intelligence. Yoga means Ashtasiddhis. If anybody has all these things, even with all this, they cannot attract you, he says. Why? If somebody shows a very complicated mudra of asana, Krishna can show even more complicated by lifting over than he'll. Isn't it? So he cannot be attracted by any of this. There is only one element that attracts you, he says, which is Bhaktim Tatosha Bhagavan Gajayuta Paya. So we all are in this Bhakti movement of Srila Prabhupada, and it is a worthy pursuit. Even if our entire life goes away in struggling to become a pure devotee, it is still a worthy pursuit, because what we are acquiring is never lost by this endeavor. And Krishna also takes notice that this devotee has sincerely endeavored. So in the path of bhakti, bhakti is not achieved, it is awarded. So if Krishna is satisfied with our endeavor, he can award it, as he awarded it to Yashoda also. And we should know that as this list is given of people who are deficient in good qualities, we can also consider other deficiencies which can arouse some ounces of humility in our heart. With which we approach the lotus feet of Krishna, we will surely be accepted. Krishna Bhagavan ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you.